Jason for getting us all crying. You know, I remember September 12th, 2001, any song like that would have had me bawling. So it reminded me of those emotions. I actually don't get that nervous up here, except when I'm sitting up here and God says, preach this. Or, you need to do this, and it's not my notes. That makes me a little nervous when God says, get off your notes. You know, there's a couple phrases in the scripture that I love. We should all have some favorite verses, but there's some things that God says over and over again. I have some favorite phrases, and two of them. And if you ask me next week, I would have a different set of two favorite phrases. But ask me today, it's these two, but God is one. You see it all over, but God. Another phrase that I love is, and God. And far be it from me, if there's a passage that the Holy Spirit lays on my heart, oh no, Lord, it's not in my notes. So I'm going to go off on a little bit of tangent before I get started, and tell you what God was doing in me. Now, I don't preach that often, and so I'm studying for a sermon, and it's like a Sunday morning sermon. It's like, what am I going to do with this, Lord? Why am I doing this? But the Lord just put this on and put this on, and so when the pastor asked me, can you do this? It's like, okay, I knew what I was going to preach on. And it's in Jeremiah. This is not my text. This was what I got up here. For since I spake, I cried out. Now, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8, Jeremiah is under this self-deception that he can get away without preaching. By the time we get to chapter 20, he's been dismayed at the faces by now. Now, God said, be not dismayed at their faces, but he got a little dismayed. And in verse 8 of chapter 20, he says, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. When you tell people the bad news that Jesus has, that God has for people, it is a reproach. And Jeremiah had bad news every day to the point where he wanted to shut his mouth. And then verse 9 of chapter 20, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak more in his name. That's a dangerous place to get as a Christian. Oh, I'm not going to talk about the Lord anymore. Look at the trouble I get in. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Think about if your bones were on fire. You'd say something, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you go out and scream? That's what we're supposed to do with the Word of God. It's supposed to be a burning fire in our bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He couldn't keep his word. I'm not going to... And this was a good thing that he couldn't keep his word, Jeremiah. He said, I'm not going to shut up anymore. I'm going to preach. And so I pray that the Lord has his way in my heart as I speak and in your heart as you hear. Today's message is called, I struggled with the title, Affirming the Affirmative. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. And I shared this on Tuesday night in our question and answer Bible study. I shared it this morning in Sunday school. I was in public school for 12 years. Nobody there told me about Jesus. Nobody. Now, I know there were Christians there. Where were they? Their lips were zipped. They didn't say a word. I was a lost boy that nobody reached to. But I'll bet they didn't drink. I'll bet they didn't smoke. I'll bet there's a whole bunch of things they didn't do. But one of the things they didn't do is they didn't reach me. That's a tragedy of Christianity. You know, there's a whole bunch written about Jesus Christ And it's not about what he didn't do. It's about what he did. Forgive me for being angry, but I went through some crud by not getting saved in high school. John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 24. John writes this at the very end of his gospel. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. We know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus didn't do. Is that what it says? No. We don't know about what Jesus didn't do. That was just prerequisite. There was a bunch of stuff that Jesus shouldn't do. But it's not stated because he just shouldn't. The testimony was about what he did. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. The which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, this is a side note. There's 66 books in here, hand-picked by God. Out of everything that Jesus did, God chose to reveal this to all time, a book this thick. If we don't do our duty to read it, God already filtered out and packed this so dense that this is for us. Out of everything that Jesus did, God recorded just this little book. Let's get in it. Not my notes. Sorry. So I want to go to our text. I haven't gotten to our text yet. Our text is Ephesians in chapter 5. Now, if you've heard me preach before, this is different than most of my messages, because usually I just pick one verse and I do a chant through my message. God didn't give me a message like that today. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 8 through 19. Now, this is a very interesting passage. We all know about the nine fruits, or the nine things that God calls the fruit of the Spirit. But this is kind of buried. You know, when Jesus, I guess it was the lawyer who asked him, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have time to go there. But his answer, he summarized the Ten Commandments with just two. So it's okay to sometimes get the less. Sometimes the less is more. Jesus said, you got to love your neighbor as yourself, and you got to love God. Paraphrase, excuse me for that. But that's the essence. Love God, love your neighbor. And he says all of the commandments are wrapped up in these two things. Well, I suspect then in Ephesians, when we see these three things, that these wrap up the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians. Ephesians 5. Starting in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but are now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Then in parentheses, he says this in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those are the three things we're going to talk about this morning, goodness, righteousness, and truth, as they reflect upon the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And then verse 13 is where I really want to start focusing. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, our favorite place to really focus on as Baptists generally in that whole passage is what not to do. Now, out of that passage, probably one of the most familiar phrases in that passage for most of us here is what not to do. But out of all that I read, something like 7-9 sentences, there's only one thing, what not to do. Most of it, it's about what to do. And so we look at that, and we stop. Where was that? That was verse 18. We stop here, and be not drunk with wine. There's not a period after that. There's a comma. Now, if you are a literalist like I am, and you believe the dot or the jots and the tittles, that God didn't put that little tail on the dot for a reason. It's connected to that phrase. Verse 18, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a comparison here. It's not a contrast. There's a lot of things where it's contrasting. Oh, don't get drunk. Do this instead. This is saying, what do they call alcohol? What is one of the words for it? Spirits. So you can either get these spirits, or praise God, you can get the Holy Spirit and get filled with Him. And, you know, you want to get some alcohol in you, it's going to take over you. You're not going to be able to walk. You're not going to be able to think. And face it, you're going to get pretty stupid. Everybody does. That you get a bunch in you, and you get stupid, and all you have to do is be sober around somebody like that, and you recognize it. Well, what God wants us to do, get the Holy Spirit and get stupid. Be fools for Christ's sake. Get consumed by the Holy Spirit. Do something. Oh, man, it drives me crazy when someone likes to pat themselves on the back for what they didn't do. That's crazy. This book would be so incredibly dull if it said, oh, and Jesus looked at the bar and he walked by and he didn't go. And then he went to the store and he wanted to steal extra change because they gave him too much, but he didn't. He gave it back. Do you know how boring this book would be if that's what it talks about? No, he did really cool stuff. He took 5 loaves of bread and fed 5,000 people. I think I have my numbers right, but if I don't, it's something like that. He did a lot of cool stuff. And we need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to get drunk with Him. Look at, and I am not condoning alcohol. Don't run away and say that I said this. It is a comparison. Here we are. 1 Corinthians 16. The reason I get nervous when God gives me a verse on the platform is I know I'm off my notes. So I might have a couple pauses here and there. But we'll get through these passages, the ones that God wants us to get through. 1 Corinthians 16. Sincerely ask God in your heart if this is you. And if it's not, let's get there. You know, it's Huey Lewis that says, I want a new drug, one that don't make me sick. There's a whole, I forget the rest of the verses. I meant to look it up and I forgot. But we need the drug. We need to be righteousness junkies. We need to do what we have to do to get what we need to get. Verse 16, I beseech you, brethren. What does beseech mean? Like, man, listen to me! I beseech you, brethren. You know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaeus, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Are you addicted? Are you consumed? Are you filled? Do people look like you like you're crazy? You are nuts! What is wrong with you? You don't tell people they're going to hell? Of course you do! Otherwise, they might go there. Are you filled? Our litmus test, if God's got a hold of our life, the litmus test that we need to use is what are we doing? That's simple. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. That there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Goodness. Fruit of the Spirit. Goodness. Let's look at righteousness. Righteousness corresponds to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. See then that ye walk circumspectly. The opposite of a drunk. Not as fools, but as wise. Get this, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if I ask most of you out there, do you want to understand the Lord's will? Yeah? Yeah? Well, God already filtered it out for you. The world couldn't contain the books. It's right here. Are you in it? Because if you're not, you don't want to know God's will for you. Throw the religion away. If you're not in this book, hopefully every day, but certainly if you're not in this book every week, you don't want to know the will of God. It's in here. All you have to do is walk over to the candy jar and grab some. It's always there. If you want to know the will, get in it. Do something. It's the performance. So redeeming the time. You ever see people that are nuts about coupons? Like, they get the newspaper. And you know, you get behind them in the grocery store. Oh, that's maddening. And you're like, you know, they want to save some money. A drug addict, you know what he will do for heroin? Crawl through a window like that into someone's house. Grab whatever he can to sell. And if he's so desperate, he would kill. What should we do? What should we do? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance. our substance that we want to abuse is faith. You want to be a substance abuser? Abuse the substance of faith. Now, why did God call this something that feels like you can touch? Because I think we try to over-spiritualize it. We try to think that the saints are some historical thing that had this magical stuff that we don't have anymore. No, it's a substance. You can have it today. Do you want it? Redeeming the time. You need to go. You got to mortify this flesh. You got to kill somebody. You got to kill you. You got to kill somebody. I want some substance. I got to redeem the time. What can I do to redeem the time? I want some faith. I want some substance. Are you addicted to the ministry? Paul was. Affirming the affirmative. First, we looked at goodness. And we looked at righteousness. Proverbs 4:7. We're still on righteousness. Wisdom is a principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Do you see it? I want it. I want it. I need this stuff. I can't live without it. Oh, man, give me some. We don't get like that. We can actually learn from the world in their dedication to their substance abuse. That is the addiction that we should have. We should be so wanting that God does something in our life in the ministry that we'll do what it takes. We'll kill this man. We'll steal from the flesh. We'll steal the time that we want to do this thing, whether it's like throwing the frisbee, whether it's playing foosball, whether it's playing the Wii, whether it's whatever it is that we love to get into, we'll steal that time. We'll redeem it like the coupon clipper and say, I'm going to do this for the Lord. That is what an addiction will do for you. This final area, goodness, righteousness, truth. And the truth is where it cuts. Truth is where we talk about the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. The truth is the part that hurts. Really. I mean, it even hurts sometimes when you're trying to evangelize somebody. And you say, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Well, I think so. Well, that's not knowing for sure. I mean, that is, have you heard that answer before? Well, I think so. What do you know? Well, I think so. Now the part hurts. Well, you know what? If you don't know, you're probably not going. Because you have to trust in Him to get saved. And if you think so, then you're looking at yourself and you're thinking that you're good enough. Because Jesus was good enough. We don't need to think so about going to heaven. If Jesus said that, or the Bible says, whosoever that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I think so, then basically I'm saying, yeah, I don't really believe God. Yeah, I don't really think that all of the sins that Jesus paid for, I don't think that was enough for me. Jesus wasn't good enough to save me. No, it's not an arrogance to know that you're going to heaven. It's a total belief in God that He has the power to do what He says that He's going to do. Now, we come off as arrogant. The hard part is the truth. Ephesians 5:13 says, to 14. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and God shall give thee light. John chapter 8, 12, you won't have time to turn there. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Proverbs 22, 19 to 21. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have I not written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee known the certainty of the words of life? That thou mightest know, but thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. That was Proverbs 22, 19 to 21. One more. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we had goodness, righteousness, and truth. And the truth is like a light. Now, where does light first appear? Genesis chapter 1, 3. I'm going to do two things. You tell me which one that you think God did. You examine what you think the character of God is. And God said, let there be light. That's one. Here's the other one. Let there be light! I pick this one. It's certainly more fun. But if we go back to our text, awake thou that sleepest. Wake up! You know, I am as guilty as everyone in this room, and I hope that you know that you're as guilty as me. We are asleep. We are asleep. Or there wouldn't be room to stand in here. How many people have walked in this building lost and walked out saved? Jesus said, by your fruit ye shall know them. Oh, wow. We really don't look so hot, folks. There's not a lot of people walking in lost, walking out saved. Wake up. Let there be light. And I do it probably more than you, to pat myself on the back about what I'm not doing. It's not good enough. It really isn't good enough. Now, can you imagine if you were in a high school class with Jesus? Okay, the teacher's writing on the board. Somebody turns around and there's something going on. Oh, Jesus, I know you're okay. He was never the instigator. Oh, Jesus never gets in trouble. The bar is really high. Have you ever been in a math class? And there was some idiot, and he wasn't really an idiot, but there was somebody in that class that always got 100%. Jesus broke the curve. Our standard is not this guy or that guy or her or him. Our standard is Jesus Christ, and what we don't do doesn't cut it. We got to really do the performance and to do the things that God has in front of us. Get the marching orders and march. Ephesians 5:10 in our text says, proving what is acceptable. proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:20, and I'll try to close with this, but I won't promise you anything yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 17, just in case you didn't think this was a theme in the scripture, Paul makes it very clear. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? Was Paul led of the flesh or of the spirit? That's the question he asks. That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. The question. Do I tell you yeses and noes? Verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Don't do this, do this, don't do this, don't do that, do this. It's not the way it was. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. If you're busy doing what's right, you don't have time to do what's wrong. If you're addicted to the ministry, you can forget about the sins that so easily beset us because you are marching for the light. Victorious Christian living is really all about getting plugged into the Holy Spirit and running. You know when people wreck? Usually not looking forward. Look over here. Which way are you going to go? Look in the rearview mirror. Boom! If we're running to the goal, there's going to be a whole bunch of sins we don't even see. They're at the side of the road because we're not looking there. We're running this way. It's yay. It's not yay and nay. You want to be defeated as a Christian, do a fine-tooth comb and find out all of the things that you should and shouldn't do. And then, at the judgment seat of Christ, look around and see how many people are there because of you. Those Christians that I know were in my high school, they were very busy about what not to do. But they didn't reach, to my knowledge, a single lost person. My friends didn't get saved. Not while I was there. I know there was one more thing I wanted to talk about. Yeah, and I'm done here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18, the other great chapter about the fruit of the Spirit. In Ephesians, we have righteousness, goodness, and truth. In Galatians 5, there's nine qualities listed as the fruit of the Spirit. And before he gets there, Paul says this, but if ye be led of the Spirit, 5:18, ye are not under the law. You're not there. The law was a schoolmaster to prove people were sinners. The law is not there for us to be victorious. The love of God and the love of people and the addiction and the total consuming fire in our bones that we want to do what's right We're going to have a prayer. This message was mostly for the saved saints. I barely touched on the gospel. If you don't know for certain that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you want to know for certain that you're going to heaven, someone here, and I could pick any one of these men in the front four rows, and I could have someone sit down and show you how to be saved. Because I haven't told you that. I have told you how to live a victorious Christian life, but I haven't told you the most important thing, step one of salvation. If that's you and you say, I don't know you, I'm going to give you a chance to come up and pray. And after you pray, ask me or somebody in these front rows if they can show you in the scripture how to be saved. If God spoke to your heart and you want to seal it on the altar, this altar is welcome to everybody and open to everyone. We'll pray, then we'll sing, and I'm sorry we're 5 minutes late, then we'll